I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. I have lived just off of Fraser Street in Vancouver near King Edward Avenue for over 25 years. It has been changing in the last number of years. Demographics are changing, as is density. We're seeing a number of multi-level, multi-dwelling buildings. An interesting aspect of the transformation is what's happening is the number of restaurants, I should say, that are opening in the stretch of Fraser between Kingsway and 33rd. Avenue. There have always been restaurants on Fraser Street, but they were usually Asian restaurants, such as Chinese and Vietnamese ones. Now there's a pretty good French restaurant, Le Faux Bourgeois, a terrific Mexican one, Sal y Limon, and Frey, located at 3980 Fraser Street. Chris Perry, its co-owner and marketing director, joins me now. I'll get him to explain the food and give us some insight on the process of creating and executing a restaurant like this in the neighborhood. Will Fraser become the new Main Street? What's business been like? Frey has been in business for a year now, and it seems like a great time to check in with Chris. He's also an award-winning journalist, digital content editor at the Vancouver Sun, as well as the author of the well-selling bar and beverage operation, Ensuring Success in Maximizing Profit. Frey.me is the website for the restaurant. Please welcome to the Plant on the Line program, Chris Perry. Mr. Perry, good morning.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Not too bad.
Are you related to the other Perry that's at the paper, Malcolm?
No, we get that question quite a lot. I think it irks him more than it irks me.
You're from Australia, right?
That's right,
yeah. And I guess he's English.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you just hate it when people think it's the same thing?
You know, I'm okay with it. Everyone, usually, if people say, are you from New Zealand? And I say, no, Australia, they always get very worried that I'm about to come at them with a knife or something. But, you know, if I was too concerned about being related to Australians, I'd change my accent a bit more than I have.
Yeah. Now, you've worked in restaurants before.
Yep.
You've written about food in the paper.
Mm-hmm.
What compelled you to open a restaurant of your own?
Well, there's several parts to it, one of which is that my wife and I both work in an industry which is a little bit susceptible to technological change right now.
Uh-huh.
And so I thought, well, maybe we need to diversify a little, and you know, if things go badly in one area, we should have something else we can jump to. And I'd worked in restaurants for a good portion of the early part of my career. And we sort of found ourselves on Fraser Street one day and thought, let's get a sandwich. And we sort of skipped past the subway and thought there must be something better. And went for a walk way the heck up until we hit the cemetery, and we just didn't find anywhere that we could just sit down and have a casual sandwich. We sort of got the business mind working a little bit, thinking, well, maybe with all these people who live in this area now who are freshly fresh from the Main Street diaspora, maybe this street's really sort of ripe for something opening up new that really sort of catered to the new crowd that lived there rather than the crowd that was traditionally there that I think is probably in the process of pulling up sticks and moving somewhere else.
Yeah.
So we sort of hemmed and hawed for a little while and looked for a space. At the same time, I was looking for a space that was large enough that I could maybe open a combination theater/restaurant, sort of a place where you could eat and also watch a movie at the same time,
mm-hmm.
Which is a business model I've seen in Austin, Texas, as being wildly successful. And found a location on Fraser Street that actually was big enough to do that just about the time that the Rio Theater started going through its dramas with the Liquor Control Board about it trying to get a liquor license and show movies at the same time. So we sort of rejigged and looked at this space and thought, well, you know, if anywhere was ripe for growth, Fraser Street's it. We saw what was happening with Le Faux Bourgeois. We saw what was happening with the Outpost Cafe and thought, all right, well, maybe we just need to do something that serves healthy, honest local food and gives people a local option to, you know, to spill out of their living rooms and come each night after work to have a good meal.
Yeah, and the food's pretty good, too, I must say.
I'm glad you enjoy it. I think that, you know, we've had a few changes along the way. You know, we opened up probably a little bit too smart for our own good. You know, we tried to make things very high-end with a twist, and we quickly found that the neighborhood was happy with that, but, you know, they weren't coming back every day. And so we wanted somewhere where people who live in a 600-square-foot apartment and don't have a lot of entertaining space could come down after work and you know, have something to eat, play a board game, watch some TV, meet other people in the neighborhood and not feel like they had to be kicked out the door after an hour. And so we rejigged, and Frey became what it is today, which I guess is kind of an upscale diner. But mostly, you know, we kind of refer to it as the communal living room.
Yeah, so there are board games, a lot of board games, actually. I was in there the other night, that one can pick up and take to the table and play. Would you explain the decor? How do you explain it? I mean, it's old movie posters, but we're not talking about Casablanca or The Apartment. We're talking movies.
We're talking Mexican cinema lobby cards from the 1930s of American movies. Basically, the inside of the restaurant is what used to be the inside of my office, and my wife is very happy to get it all out of there. So there's a little bit of sort of eclectic movie memorabilia, you know, old posters from movies that people probably have forgotten about. I kind of figure, you know, I always hate it when you go to someone's house and they have a movie poster for something like Scarface. You know, I've seen that 1,000 times. Yeah. What I really want to see is a movie poster for Mothra that was hand-painted by someone in Mexico in 1942. To me, that's a little bit more interesting, you know. And so I found on eBay someone who I guess had taken over an old movie theater and found these boxes of old cinema lobby cards from decades past, and just threw them up on eBay for a couple of bucks a piece. So I bought, I think, 800 of them. And then figured, well, God, what am I going to do with all these? I just happened to be opening a restaurant, so maybe I'll throw some on the walls. So it confuses people a little bit, but I kind of like that, you know. I think that you go into an Earl's and you see all those French lithograph prints from the 1950s that every other restaurant has, and I just think it's boring.
Yeah.
So at least people walk into the Fray, they look around, and there's something different on the walls, you know, whether it be a ketchup ad from Newsweek in 1956, or, you know, something that they've just never seen before that they can actually sit and talk about. I used to really enjoy Slickety Jim's on Main Street for that reason, you know, something where you could just go and look at the walls and just think, what the hell, where did this all come from?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if that's the starting point when someone sits down, is that they actually have a conversation ready to go, then I think mission accomplished, you know.
How has it been being part of the community? Have you found that the people from this neighborhood, say, are going to Frey?
Yeah, I mean, about 85% of the people that walk in the door are locals. We worried when we first opened that we might have a parking issue being on Fraser Street, and it hasn't worked out that way because people walk there. You know, it's a real neighborhood restaurant, and I think that all those people who open restaurants on Main Street and fight for those scraps of, you know, the people that walk by and haven't walked into the 87 other restaurants that are there. You know, to us, it makes a lot more business sense to have a restaurant in a place where there is a neighborhood happening that isn't being served. So our business model, if we were to, you know, to be blessed with the opportunity to franchise it, is not to open Frey's like downtown or in Gastown or in Yowtown, but in places where there's just nothing currently serving the neighborhood, like Champlain Heights, for example, you know, like places where there's a lot of people who have to get in a car and drive to go and have a sandwich. I think that we broke a few rules when we opened our place, and we took a calculated risk that rule breaking was not going to be something that would damage the business, but in actual fact would be something that we could point to and say, look, the old beliefs are not based on anything in reality.
So a year in, it has been successful, right?
Yeah, we're 1 year down, so we're already ahead of a large percentage of restaurants that open by surviving that first year. We built the place in a restaurant that I think was, by reports, a front for a local card game.
Mm-hmm.
When we moved in there, there was nothing that was really salvageable. The kitchen equipment hadn't been used in 6 months, and the plumbing was outdated, and the electricals were all homemade, and we basically had to gut the place and start afresh, which kind of took away a lot of our opportunity to expand into our second floor and really do what we wanted to do. But the upside of it is that we now have a beautiful, fresh, new restaurant that we know, you know, the boiler's not going to blow up next week, and the grease trap's not going to leak into the kitchen because everything in the place is brand new.
Yeah.
And despite that, we've managed to not go broke. We've managed to grow, and each week we're seeing the numbers rise. We had to experiment a lot to see when people were actually looking to come out, you know, whether they wanted to be there till midnight or whether they wanted to be there for a weekday lunch. And so the first year, I think, has been a lot of trial and error to see what the neighborhood really wants, because no one else in the neighborhood is doing what we're doing. We didn't have any sort of track record to go on. But you go there on a Wednesday night when the trivia is happening and the place is full and there's a lineup out front, and you can see that people are just really happy to be in the neighborhood and doing something fun. We're not pulling people from Kerrisdale or from Burnaby. We're pulling people from two blocks away who come down, meet their neighbors, and have a few brews. And to me, that's the sort of restaurant that I wanted to have in my neighborhood, you know, somewhere where I could take my kids for a board game and make sure that the food that they were eating was healthy and fresh and, you know, wasn't going to get E. coli.
Yeah. And then the beef, I mean, that's a problem this week. All your beef's locally sourced, right?
Yeah, so we initially wanted all of our food to be as local as it could possibly be, you know, and so our beef was actually from Pemberton, B.C. We recently switched to Alberta. We kind of mm-hmm. still consider that to be local, but only because we found a supplier that could give us hormone-free, medication-free, grass-fed, you know, well-looked-after cattle. To us, you know, that's, if you can't do that, if you can't give people something that they can't do at home, then why would you be in business? You know, when I go to a restaurant and I eat something and I know they've microwaved it and I know it was pre-prepared when they brought it into the kitchen, it just makes me feel ripped off. You know, I want to eat something that I can't make myself at home in 12 minutes. And so everything that we have is locally sourced. It's all prepared that day. It's a little bit more work for the chef and a little bit more expensive for us to do it that way. But then when half the country has to send its beef back to where it came from because of E. coli problems, well, that's when it all really makes sense. You know, it all feels like we've done the right thing because we're not in that game. We're in the fresh food game, not the processed food game.
The other thing that's interesting about the food is that the burger's a hit, right?
Right.
Yeah. You serve that with either a salad or chips, not fries.
Right.
What was the motivation behind chips rather than French fries?
Yeah. Part of it's down to the size of our kitchen. We had to make a decision when we kitted it out what we were going to be focused on. And we wanted to be doing healthy food. You know, I have a past in my job at The Sun where I put out a series a couple of years ago called The Fatabase.
Right.
Which was based around a web tool that had the nutritional information from the menus of 80 different chain restaurants around BC. And the idea there was that people, if they want to eat a hamburger, they shouldn't be told you can't. They should be able to find the healthiest hamburger in town. And you really struggle to do that by just looking at individual restaurants' websites. They'll tell you they have fresh ingredients, and you know where it goes from there, it's really up to your own research. But I put out something where I thought, let's let people type in hamburger and then get a list of every single hamburger in town and exactly what's in it. So when I opened a restaurant, you know, I really couldn't just say we're going to back up a processed food truck and do fish and chips and burgers. And you know, I really wanted to sort of follow that through and deliver something that was a little bit healthier.
Mm-hmm.
I love French fries more than anyone, I think, and you know, my physique probably betrays that. We just kind of thought, you know, let's try it out. Let's see if people run away screaming if they don't have French fries, or if they say, well, you know, chips are okay, you know,
yeah.
Or yeah, maybe I will try the salad. It looks like it's fresh, and, you know, you can taste the field. And we've had so few complaints about the absence of French fries, and the ones that we did have were maybe in the first month. But we had the chips are fresh made. They're lightly fried, so they're not, you know, dripping in oil.
Yeah.
And I think for most people, you know, they actually find that they do the job. They fill you up well enough. They give you a little bit of salt without being that mountain of fries that you get at Earl's or Cactus Club, you know.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, you know, eat fries just as a matter of course. They just happen to be on the plate, so they fill themselves up with them, but they don't really think about it. And we wanted to make people maybe think about, you know, what was on their plate a little bit more and focus a little bit more on the burger and the freshness of what was on their buns.
Yeah, the chips are addictive, I must say. The other thing that's the portobello fries.
Is
that something that's popular?
Yeah, that'd be the signature dish, I think. There's very few people come in that don't try the portobello fries. They're lightly crumbed, deep-fried portobello mushrooms.
Yeah.
with a little aioli on the side, and people try them just to try them, you know, and then they find that they're actually really good. We kind of peg them as the death of the French fry, because if you had the option of portobello fries or French fries, which one would you choose? You know, so if you can have something that tastes like a fry but is actually a mushroom, it's actually a vegetable, I think that keeps the kids satisfied. And it's a different taste, you know, which is something that we're going for. We don't want to just put out on a plate bacon and eggs, or, you know, here's a hamburger with cheese. We want to give people something that they can't get somewhere else while still satisfying that comfort food craving.
The opening a restaurant in this market at this time, it's still, you've had success with this restaurant with Frey, but it's still a tough slog, isn't it?
Every week, yeah. This past Saturday, we thought we were going to have a nice big crowd, and we didn't cater to the fact that there was a Madonna concert in town and a UFC event and a Whitecaps game all on the same night. So what would normally be a nice busy night turned out to be two tables. So you have to struggle then the next week to make that up. You know, you can't just sort of go at the end of the month and say, well, there were three concerts in town, so we didn't make enough money to pay rent. We've had to sort of go outside of the normal comfort zone for a restaurant and come up with events to make up for the ins and outs of the Vancouver restaurant scene, which have been very popular. The trivia quiz on Wednesday nights is great. We've done drunken spelling bees. We're doing movie trivia this coming Saturday. We try to make it so that every Saturday, if you're not otherwise occupied with a concert or a sort of Whitecaps game or something, that you can wander into Frey and there'll be something happening, which is something that isn't always agreed to by the powers that be. Mm-hmm. Especially the Liquor Control Board really doesn't like it when a restaurant does anything that isn't just serving food. I think anyone who's traveled into other cities in Europe or Asia or the USA, you know, the best places, the places that people are really going to in large numbers, the places that don't just give you food and wine and kick you out after an hour, they're places that add a little bit of value. And we're trying to give people a reason to socialize on Fraser Street as opposed to having to go downtown and fight the crowds and deal with drunks on Granville, you know, that you can just come out even with your kids and enjoy some sort of event or a contest or a theme night that is something that you can sit either for a few hours or till the clock runs out and have a great time. We often have people at the end of music trivia sort of all standing up, you know, the entire restaurant, either singing a song or dancing or, you know, yeah. They get to the end of the night and no one's going home, you know, everyone's become friends. And to me, that's the best thing possible in a restaurant. Not that everyone likes the food, that's great, but it's that the people who are going there at the end of the night know all the other people who are going there and see this place as kind of a local home.
What's the online experience been like? Because you have to deal, I'm assuming, when you're running a restaurant with, say, the bloggers, the people on Yelp or on, I can't even remember the names of these restaurant rating things.
Urban Spoon and
as well as other things like reservation systems and the sort. I mean, that's something new, I guess, to the restaurant business that you wouldn't have had, say, 10 years ago.
Yeah, we certainly fought some wars in that space. We had someone who, for whatever reason, was giving us negative review after negative review on Urban Spoon. We quickly figured out it was the same person because every single day there would be one review, and quite often it would talk about things that we didn't actually serve. So someone just had it in them to decide that they were going to destroy our reputation, and every single day there'd be a new review up there, and every time someone had liked the restaurant on that system, there'd be an instant dislike right, you know, within hours, and it sort of really killed us for a while because our percentage on that was like 68% like the restaurant, which, you know, anything under 80% and people start to give you a jaundiced eye. Mm-hmm. And they certainly did absolutely nothing to deal with the situation. You know, we occasionally would go to Facebook and say, look, here's what's happening. Any of you who've been to the restaurant and enjoyed it, or not enjoyed it for that matter, please go to Urban Spoon and rate us accordingly. And we'd have like 40 people would come along and maybe 39 of those would be likes. And Urban Spoon would then delete all those because it would decide that sudden burst activity must be fake. Mm-hmm. So for months, you know, we were just fighting this thing over and over and over again, and we couldn't figure out how to beat it. until one of the other restaurateurs that I spoke to just said, just forget, just let it go. You know, there's plenty of other places out there that are covered in great reviews of your restaurant. The one person in 30 that goes to Urban Spoon and sees this thing and thinks, oh, well, I'm not going there, well, just let them go. You know, don't kill yourself over it. And once that happened, we thought, yeah, you're right. There's so many places, so many people that could give us positive feedback. So we started reaching out to bloggers who deal with food and you know, saying, hey, if you don't know about us, come see us. We had a couple of events like Tasting Plates Vancouver where we I think we walked 400 people through the restaurant and gave them little tasting samples of what we do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just positive press in places like the Vancouver Sun and the Province and the Globe and Mail. The Georgia Strait filled us up when they reviewed the restaurant. We were filled for a good couple of weeks. So, you know, the struggle is, I think it's probably the same as if you're an actor in movies. You know, you get that first negative review and it kills you. And you just have to learn to ignore it and just embrace the good, because there's a lot more good out there.
Now, just outside of the bathrooms is a poster for Say Anything.
Right.
I've never seen it. Is that a movie I have to see?
It's a kind of a quintessential 80s teen romance film that I think everyone at a certain point in their life should see.
Yeah.
But that it doesn't necessarily stick when you're past that point in your life, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's great. The reason we put it up there is because for women especially, there's a scene in that film where John Cusack camps out under his
right.
girlfriend's window with a ghetto blaster held aloft, and you know, they kind of all look at that as the big romantic scene. So I figure a poster of that right outside the women's washroom might get a bit of positive feedback. And sure enough, we've had a few people who've tried to sort of unscrew the poster and walk off with it. It's very well received. In front of the men's room, we have the Space Invaders game. So, you know, it's we're playing stereotypes, to be sure, but it seems to hit the mark.
Yeah. I appreciate you doing this, Chris. Congratulations and continued good luck with the restaurant. It's been a great addition to the neighborhood, and as I said, the food's pretty good.
No problem at all, man. And thanks for doing what you're doing. You know, there's nothing better in a neighborhood than people who actually claim a little ownership and decide, you know, we're going to try and figure out ways we can make this place grow and get better. And I think the best thing about Fraser Street is the number of people like yourself who really sort of have jumped in there and said, this is our street, this is where we live, we're going to make this as good as it can be. It's as someone who lives in Richmond and doesn't often see that sort of thing, it's great to see that sort of neighborhood ownership.
Thanks very much, Chris.
No worries, man.
Yeah, the website, fray.me, Chris Perry, the co-owner of the restaurant, marketing director, on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Hunter.